This bird hunts venomous snakes without being immune to their venom. It can live up to 60 years older than most bird species in the world. And its call is among the deepest and most far-reaching voices in Africa. I am the safari guide. My name is Frank. And today I will tell you about the southern ground hornbill. To keep it simple, in this episode I will refer to it as the hornbill. An adult hornbill is an impressive sight. When I saw this bird for the first time, to be honest, I was briefly confused. Is this a turkey or a raven? Or maybe a vulture after all? I'll try now to describe the animal as well as I can. The hornbill is almost a meter tall and has a wingspan of up to 1.80 meters. And it weighs around 3 to 4 kilograms. It appears very powerful and at the same time is also elegant. And its plumage is deep black. And when it takes off, you can see its white wingtips. Its face is especially striking. In the male, the facial skin and throat wattles shine in an intense red. The female also has a violet-blue patch on the lower neck. A young hornbill looks a bit different again. Its juvenile plumage is softer and tends more toward a brown-black color. The facial skin is initially yellow-orange. It only looks like the adults after about 5 years. Around the hornbill's eyes are dense, long eyelashes. These are a natural protection against dust and bright sunlight. Yes, almost like built-in sunglasses. Their body structure is also perfectly adapted to life on the ground. They have long legs, short toes, and a shortened tail. And they are excellent runners, very agile and enduring. And they are fast when it counts. The large beak is particularly striking. It grows to between 20 and 25 centimeters long. Hornbills are truly something special anatomically as well. Most hornbills have 14 cervical vertebrae. Hornbills, they have 15. And another special feature, the first two vertebrae are fused together. And this construction makes the neck extremely stable. If you're now curious about what the hornbill really looks like, on my website safariguide.online, you'll find photos of this extraordinary bird. And, as with every episode, there's also a safari guide quiz. Hornbills spend about two-thirds of their day searching for food. They then slowly, but very attentively and systematically, roam their territory. They often pick up stones and branches, and they dig for prey with their powerful beaks. They walk up to 8 kilometers a day. When they're full, you can see them dozing and preening each other. They often carry branches and small objects in their beaks. They are actually playful, like little curious children. What do they eat? They actually eat almost anything that moves and is within reach. Large insects, spiders, scorpions, snails, frogs, lizards. Also small birds, rodents, and even young hares. Hornbills can even break open hard turtle shells. That is truly incredible and proves their strength and technique. And now it gets exciting. Hornbills also hunt snakes, including the venomous puff adders. They are not protected against the venom of these snakes, nor are they immune. They rely on their experience and their lightning-fast reactions. That means they watch the snake closely and approach it very cautiously. And then, when the moment is right, they suddenly strike. And now it gets brutal. With their beak, they strike the prey precisely and stun the snake. And now there is no longer any danger for the hornbill. Then they grab the snake and repeatedly slam it against the ground until it stops moving, and it's dead. It is precisely this hunting technique that has earned them a special reputation in many cultures. They are considered brave and fearless animals. Hornbills live in close family groups. These groups usually consist of 5, 6, 7, or 8 animals. A dominant breeding pair forms the center of the group. They are the only ones that have offspring. They are supported by helpers. These are almost always males. They are either still adolescents or already adults. And they often come from previous from their own broods. They defend the territory, they bring food, and they help raise the young birds. the young females are pushed out of the group when they reach sexual maturity. I find that very fascinating. In many animal species, it is the young males that are driven out of the family. With the hornbill, it is the young females. These females then set off on their own and look for another family where they can join in. The males, on the other hand, often stay in the family group for many years. As they get older, they often move to another group. There, they also take on the role of a helper. Communication is extremely important for hornbills. Their deep, booming call is especially distinctive. Listen for yourself. Sometimes you might think you're hearing a lion from far away. This call is produced when the birds inflate their throat pouches. And when the conditions are favorable, you can really hear them from many kilometers away. Most of the time, the dominant breeding pair starts with a duet. And then, one by one, the other group members join in as well. A veritable chorus is created. And these calls serve several functions at once. They mark the territory. They keep the group together and signal to other hornbill groups that this area is already inhabited. By the way, you most often hear them in the morning or evening. The reproduction of hornbills is extremely slow. The birds reach sexual maturity at the age of 4 to 6 years. Most don't start breeding until they are 10 years old or much later. And before that, they gather important experience over many years as helpers in the dominant one's nest. These helpers are indispensable. Raising a chick would hardly be possible without them. They almost always breed at the beginning of the rainy season. The breeding pair uses natural tree hollows for this, sometimes also rock niches or earthen embankments. The dominant male prepares the nest. He brings leaves and feeds the female. This also strengthens the bond between the two. And then the female lays her eggs, usually two, and at intervals of several days. She then incubates for about 40 days. During this time, she rarely leaves the nest. After hatching, a harsh law of nature becomes apparent. The first chick is bigger and stronger. It receives almost all the attention. The second one, which hatches later, has hardly any chance of survival. It is also only barely fed. The group focuses entirely on the older chick. The weaker one becomes more and more apathetic over time. It becomes dehydrated and eventually dies from lack of food. Sometimes it is even trampled by its larger siblings in the nest. So why does the female even lay 2 eggs, one might ask? The second egg is something like a biological insurance policy. If something happens to the first egg because of a storm, parasites, predators, or just bad luck, there is still a second one. And so, the desired offspring can come from the second egg. The surviving chick receives the most intensive care. For the first month, it is brooded. That means it lies well protected under the belly feathers of its parents. There it is warm and the chick is safe. After the brooding period, it stays in the nest for another 3 months. It is fed by its parents and the helpers. And then, finally, it fledges. But it is still far from independent. Only at 6 to 12 months does the young bird begin to feed itself. It continues to be fed for up to 2 years. It remains dependent on its family. It is precisely because of this long rearing phase that hornbills reproduce so slowly. Many breeding attempts fail due to predators, drought, or simply inexperience. And in dry years, the birds often forego breeding altogether. Many groups manage to successfully raise only a single chick every 7 to 8 years. Their life expectancy, on the other hand, is quite astonishing. Hornbills can live between 40 and 60 years. Among birds, only large parrots, albatrosses, or condors live longer. And here's another comparison. Eagles live 15, at most 25 years. The hornbill is native throughout southern Africa. You can encounter them in all popular safari destinations. South Africa, Namibia, Botswana, Zimbabwe, or Zambia. You usually see them in open landscapes, in savannas and wide grasslands. What I've noticed is that hornbills are especially often found along riverbanks and waterholes. It's not the water itself they're after, but everything that grows and lives there. Along rivers, the food supply is simply greater. And there are more old trees where the birds can sleep or nest. Such river landscapes also serve as natural corridors. They connect individual isolated groups. And these corridors thus enable genetic exchange between different families. And their role in the ecosystem is enormous. The hornbill is one of the most important bird hunters of the savanna. With its hunting behavior, it keeps the populations of many animals in balance. And there is something else that is crucial. Hornbills need a lot of space, a great deal of space. A single family territory can be 100 to 250 square kilometers in size. That is an area with sides about 15 by 15 kilometers long. The landscape must be intact, otherwise they cannot live and breed there. That means they need enough trees, clean soil, and few disturbances. And if we protect the habitat of the hornbill, we automatically protect many other species as well. Wild dogs or cheetahs, for example. They too need open and untouched landscapes. So the hornbill is much more than just a bird. It is a key to protecting the African savanna. It is a symbol of a functioning ecosystem. And that is why, in southern Africa, it is considered a so-called keystone species and flagship species in conservation. However, the hornbill also holds a special place in culture. It is associated with rain, thunder, and the changing of the seasons. Among the Zulu people, the hornbill is considered a bringer of rain. In the past, people would often place its feathers in dried-up riverbeds simply to call for rain. In the Xhosa communities, entire birds were often used for rain rituals. Of course, this contributed to the decline in their population. Among the Ndebele people, however, killing one is still considered taboo because the call of the hornbill announces the vital rain. In contrast, there is also a belief that you must place a bird carcass in a dry riverbed. It is believed that this can end a drought. In other regions, it is feared as a bringer of bad luck. If a hornbill is seen near a house, it is said to predict illness or even death. And these cultural differences have a direct impact on the population, depending on whether an animal is revered or persecuted. Only if we understand what role the hornbill plays in people's thoughts and actions can we truly protect it in the long term. Today, the hornbill is threatened with extinction. It is losing its habitat due to agriculture, settlements, and road construction. Old trees, which it needs for nesting, are disappearing. Added to this are climate change, poisoning, power lines, and repeated conflicts with humans. And all of this together affects a species that reproduces only very slowly anyway. A lost animal is hardly replaceable. Not in this system. A system that relies on patience, cooperation, and decades of experience. The hornbill is a bird of contrasts. It can live to a great age, and yet it is endangered. It is powerful and yet vulnerable. It lives on the ground, and yet it is capable of sustained flight. Whoever protects the hornbill preserves far more than just a single species. You are protecting an important building block of the savanna, and with it, the delicate balance of an entire habitat. Thank you for joining me on Safari today. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to support the Safari Guide, please check out my Patreon page. With your financial support, you help me continue this podcast independently and ad-free. And in doing so, you make it possible for new episodes to feature deeper research and even more stories from the world of safaris. Because that's what this is all about, not just seeing animals, but understanding them. You can find the link in the show notes. Thank you very much. Until the next episode, Frank, your safari guide.